I believe that I must work out my salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in me. And what is God at work in me doing? First of all, to give me a tremendous passion to do the will of God. That's what it means, to will His good pleasure. A tremendous passion. You see, when God puts a desire in a person's heart, it's not a weak type of desire. It's not like a matchstick. It's not even like a candle. Our God is a consuming fire. You know, when it says He came on Mount Sinai, it was a blazing furnace. And that's the type of desire He puts inside you. And I want to tell you this, my brothers and sisters. If God has not put a blazing furnace desire in you, a terrific passion to do His will on earth as it is done in heaven, you better seek God. He hasn't done it because He sees you're not earnest about it. You're earnest about 101 other things. You're so earnest about looking for a job, looking for a house, looking for a wife or a husband. You go searching the internet to find a good husband or wife. Good, nothing wrong in that. Search here and there, go around here and there looking for a good house. Good, nothing wrong in that. Or looking for a job. Very good. What about seeking after God? Is that sort of number 10 in priority? When that becomes your number one priority, you'll find Him. You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. I'll tell you this, my brothers and sisters, we're not all at the same level spiritually. You know that. What is it that makes the difference between one person and another? It's not age. It's not color of skin. It's not intelligence. It's not that if you're stupid and dumb, God will choose you, or you're very intelligent, God will choose you. No. It's got to do with God. There is no partiality. Do you have a passion for God? God, I want You. You know, something I'll never forget when I read the biography of Sadhu Sundar Singh, the greatest saint that India has produced, as far as I know. When he was 14 or 15 years old, way back in the early 1900 or so, this young boy, his mother had died. His mother had taught him to fear this creator and taken him to various sadhus and all that, and he was not satisfied. He was against Christianity, tore the Bible and all that, but he wanted God. I mean, have you found a 15-year-old somewhere who's got such a passion for God that he's seeking for God? Boy! Oh! Imagine if we could have children like that. There would have been many more Sadhu Sundar Singhs in India if there were people like that who had a passion for God. At the age of 15, he wasn't from a wealthy family. He had everything he wanted on this earth, but he had a passion for God. That's what was missing. And he kneels down in his room at night, early morning, I don't know, 4 o'clock or something, and saying, God, I mean, he must have sought God many, many days, but this particular day he says, I'm sick and tired of, or something like that. And if You don't reveal Yourself to me, I'll put my head on the train that goes by here around 5 o'clock in the morning. I cannot live without You. And he meant it. He wasn't playing games with God. And he expected to see some one of those deities that he thought was the true God. And he has a vision of Jesus. Jesus. He gets the shock of his life. This person whom he hated appears to him. And his whole life is changed in a moment. Do you believe a man's life can be changed in a moment? Or do you believe it's gradual, a person becomes spiritual over 20 years? Here's a person who's going headlong in the wrong direction, just like the Apostle Paul, going out to kill Christians. And in one moment, he's turned around 180 degrees. Why did God turn around Paul and Sadhu Sundar Singh like that? And why do we find ourselves so sluggish and sluggish and sluggish? We take 20 years, 500 sermons, and then we have turned about 90 degrees. Why is it? Sadhu Sundar Singh died when he was about 44. Converted when he was 15. Lived just about 30 years as a Christian. But see what he accomplished. Many of us have been believers for longer than 30 years. Does God have favorites? Dear brothers and sisters, are you satisfied with just attending conferences, accumulating knowledge till our head becomes bigger and bigger and bigger? We need a passion in our heart, a passion to know God. And God, when He sees that, He will produce in that person a tremendous passion to do the will of God. Such a passion that burns up all other desires to be great in the world or to make money or famous in Christendom or famous in CFC circles. It'll all be burnt up. There'll be a tremendous passion to please God day and night, every day, like Jesus lived on earth. Don't be satisfied with that. With anything less than that, rather. Don't be satisfied with anything less than that. And this is where I have to keep on telling people, don't allow yourself to sink to the low level of other brothers and sisters in your church, in CFC churches. Don't allow yourself to sink to that low level. It is a pretty low level with many people in our churches. I know that. I don't want to judge them because God is their judge, but I don't want to sink to their level. I mean, that's a decision I took when I was 21. When I got baptized at the age of 21, and I was in some assemblies where I didn't see many people passionate for God. I didn't find the elders passionate for God. They would just get up and give Bible studies on Hebrews or the tabernacle or something like that. I didn't find a passion for Jesus. And I would come home to my room in the naval base and say, Lord, what shall I do? I want a spiritual father and I don't find one. I don't find one, somebody who's got a passion for Jesus. And the Lord said to me, in my heart, if you don't find someone on earth, look at me. And that's the time I started learning to look at Jesus. And that solved my problem. I didn't want to judge anybody. But I didn't want to follow anyone who was not passionately following Jesus. If you follow the example of a person who is not a passionate disciple of Jesus, you will also become sluggish like that person. You'll start watching filthy movies like that person watches. You will go to wrong sites on the internet like that person goes when nobody's seeing you. Because you can't do those things when you have a passionate desire to follow Jesus. The fire of God just burns up those desires. You have a passionate desire to follow Jesus. He works in you to will His good pleasure. And then He works in you to do His good pleasure. To do. That means He gives you the desire first and then the ability. You know, desire alone is not enough. We know that. I can have a tremendous desire to do God's will and keep on doing my own will every day. I need the ability, the mighty power of God to put my fleshly lust to death. I can't do that on my own. The Bible says, through the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:13, you put to death the deeds of the body. You got to do it, but you got to use the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's like running these fans or lights. I can't do that. I can't keep turning a generator to keep these lights burning. But I can put on the switch and let somebody else do the work for me. But I've got to put on the switch. And whether I want the fan or the light or anything, it's like that. I can't live this life. But I can, putting on the switch is saying, Lord, Spirit of God, I'm just open to you. I want you to help me to overcome this lust and to overcome this terrible anger and overcome this unchristlike behavior in my home and in my office, this tremendous love for money that I have. This always getting upset and anxious and the rude words that come out of my mouth, even though I've heard 1,000 sermons. Lord, I don't need another sermon. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You go to God like that. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And when it says, when God works in you to will and to do His good pleasure, you can work it out. You can work it out. You work out what God works in. It's like saying, you went to the kitchen and got all that good food and distributed it to others. You didn't have to cook it. You just distributed it. That's how it is. You work out what God works in. It's wonderful. It's like, to me, the first miracle that Jesus did was a picture of that. None of those servants could produce wine. Jesus did it. But they went and gave it out. That's working out what God works in. Jesus had worked something in those water pots of water. It was ordinary water. But he changed it into fantastic wine like they had never tasted before. And this ordinary water of my human nature, God, Jesus, does the miracle of changing it into supernatural wine, the divine nature. And the Lord says, now, go and give this to others. And I give it to others. And people say, hey, how did you become like this? How did you overcome that? How did this happen in your life? Brother, I gave my empty water pot of water, my water pot of water to Jesus. He changed it into wine. I don't take any credit for it. I can't make one drop of wine, but he did it. What are you doing, brothers, sisters? Adding some sugar to the water and trying to give it to people? Fooling people it's wine, it's new covenant? It is not. Let Jesus do a work in you. What he works in, you work out. That first miracle, it says in John chapter 2, it was a sign. Have you noticed that in John 2? He doesn't call it a miracle, he calls it a sign. This beginning of signs did Jesus at Cana. It was a sign of this new covenant that he was coming with, where he would take water and turn it into wine. And you know, we have plenty of water in our life. Tasteless, colorless. And the Lord wants to turn it to wine. Only he can do it. But I've got to serve it out. Work out what he works in.